I Own the U podcast, the Miami Herald, Miami Hurricanes podcast. I'm David Wilson. I'm joined, as always, on the other line. She didn't go in the transfer portal. It's Susan Miller-Degnan, our Hurricanes beat writer here at the Herald. Susan, what's going on?
Oh, it's good. I missed the deadline.
And Miami, a couple of big late entries. You know, this was a week. We not a whole bunch of news. It's obviously that little bit of a lull between the end of college football season and signing day is just around the corner. We had the portal deadline. I think most portal stuff around the country happened not at the. It's not like, you know, it's not the same as some deadlines. It's where everything happens. This stuff had been happening, but Miami with a couple, really, I guess one big piece of news: Jake Garcia going into the transfer portal. That obviously, yeah, at one point, very much appeared to be Miami's heir apparent at quarterback, and not just because of his big recruiting stature, where he's the second highest ranked quarterback to ever commit to Miami or ever sign with Miami out of high school. You know, we saw a little bit of him his freshman year before an injury, albeit against Central Connecticut State, but looked pretty good. You know, we've seen a lot of good, you know, we saw a handful of good moments from him. Obviously, that Middle Tennessee game where he came in when Tyler Van Dyke got benched, he was pretty, I think, impressive. But it never, from there, it all went downhill. Terrible performance against Duke. You know, bad performances, bad performance against Florida State, you know, even the one win, he got a gritty performance against Virginia, but a really ugly offensive game from the Canes. And now he is headed elsewhere. First of all, what was your reaction to that? I think it wasn't, when it went in, I don't think anyone would be stunned, because it looked like he'd maybe fallen to third in the pecking order with Ja'Cari Brown passing him at the end of last year. But at the same time, it didn't feel like this was an inevitable move to happen. What was your reaction when you first heard the news?
Not shocked.
Yeah.
But not expecting it at all.
Yeah.
A little surprised, but not like, holy cow. You know, I'm disappointed, if you ask my opinion, because I think I'm not sure what happened to him this season. There are a lot of bad things with the offense, a lot of injuries. I mean, the offensive line, yikes. But I think he's good. I still think he's good. I think I'm happy for him if that's what he wants. I just think he's I liked him for the program. I think he's better than he ended up than he was, if that makes sense. I think he's better than he showed this year, a lot better. And I like Ja'Cari a lot, but he didn't show me anything with his arm. I don't know. He's a freshman, but Jake's been around. I also like, I really like Jake. I mean, Ja'Cari's personality also, but I really like Jake. He's a real team guy, a real nice guy. Very loyal to the program. And you know, didn't get in trouble, and just, he was a good role model. And I think he's a really good player. I don't understand what happened this season. And I wish he would have stayed, but you got to do what's right for you, I guess.
Yeah. So I was a little surprised. Well, one, remember, he didn't do this last year, and that was kind of going into spring. Like, it was sort of a surprise, right? Not that like he should have transferred, like, but just the way that the current college football landscape, especially a year ago, really was, where it felt like quarterbacks were transferring. They still are transferring a lot. But at the time, it really felt like it was like any backup with a little bit of juice was flirting with that decision. It really seemed like he never gave it much consideration, as far as we can tell.
Which I like, David.
Yeah, which we loved. I mean, that would made him, I think, and I'm sure to some Miami fans, like
a real Kane.
Favorite a little bit, right? That's why I think it's a little bit of a surprise here, just because, you know, it's not like you said, Ja'Cari was good with his legs last year and his upside is really high, but
I think
the only reason he was beat out Jake in the end there is just because of those legs, and because the offense could do so little. It was like one wrinkle they had. Like if you, if let's say Jake was here, we would have gone into spring and fall, I think, thinking it was a wide open competition for that backup spot behind Tyler Van Dyke. It didn't feel to me at all like Ja'Kari Brown is like the undeniable next guy in line.
Totally,
I think he's
agree.
At the edge, but yeah, that's what was surprising about it to me. And then the other component of this is that Jake, you know, I think a year ago, if he had transferred, someone would have picked him up, not necessarily with the intention of this guy is our new starting quarterback, but I think someone would have picked him up very much thinking this guy is going to compete for a starting job. Might still be the case this year, but it feels like his stock is clear. I think lower than it was a year ago, where now I think if he transfers somewhere, it's more likely as kind of a depth piece and a long-term developmental project.
I don't know. I think that last year, because remember,
he was coming off an injury, we should say, also last year.
Yeah, but remember, right. But remember, Tyler was coming off being Rookie of the Year.
Right.
Rookie of the Year, right? Yeah. And offensive, whatever, Player of the Year, offensive. And so I think that maybe like a lot of people thought that Tyler would go pro after this year. Right. That's what a lot of people
that's
were
true. Thinking. Yes.
Okay. That he was like already people, analysts were saying he was a first round prospect kind of thing. So Jake would be the natural one to step in, mm-hmm. and it would have been now. He would have been stepping in now this spring.
Yep.
And things just were bad in every way. Okay. So, and the Tyler injury thing, you know, now for sure, you know, Tyler's back and the whole, excuse me, scenario is interesting because who knows how Tyler's shoulder is going to be. I know he did not get surgery, but I don't really know what the problem is and if it can come back just as easily as it did before. So it's just a weird, and I definitely do not think Ja'Kari Brown, I don't think he should be the heir apparent.
Yeah, I mean, I think
in
he's
in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, he's obviously the going to be now. I mean, obviously now he's going to be the favorite to be the backup quarterback,
yes,
going in, and
for sure
he is has a real chance to be the starter in 2024. But yeah, like you said, that was a good point. It's a good point you raised, where I think Jake came back thinking I just have to wait one more year, and then I'm the guy, and now we're a year later, and he wasn't any closer to being the guy. Obviously also there have been, which we'll get to in a little bit, there have been coaching changes, and now multiple,
yes,
coaching changes on the offensive staff, with obviously Rhett Lashley leaving for SMU, and then obviously Mario coming in and overhauling basically the entire offensive staff, and already a year later we have at least one coach, Frank Ponce, the quarterback's coach, leaving to go back to Appalachian State.
Yeah,
so,
and the passing game coordinator. I mean,
and the passing game was kind of a mess last year, obviously.
Right.
I think that's an understatement. I think Jake, when they were in this, they had a clear hierarchy established, right, where it felt like it was going to be smooth. And as I often say, the quarterback position is never as smooth as you expect it is going to be in college football. That's why you need to get a guy every year, even if it's just a mm-hmm. high upside three-star guy. That hierarchy obviously got thrown out of whack. A lot changed. In some ways, Miami, obviously, you know, I think Tyler Van Dyke, you have to still feel really good about him coming back next year and what he's going to be, because we've seen it. And obviously had injuries last year and just a bad situation overall. But the quarterback situation, which once felt like the real strength of this roster, is they're, in some ways, they're kind of back to the drawing board here. Where they got one guy and then a lot of question marks behind him now.
Yeah. Totally agree. And I don't believe that the coaches, you know, assume that it's Ja'Kari again. I, so yeah. that, that, because, of the passing thing. Really. So, and now you got a new coordinator coming, and Jake probably knows where he's going, I would think, or he has an idea. I bet he has some kind of idea. So,
yeah, I mean, the obvious speculation, right, is going to be SMU with Rhett Lashley, but there, I mean, Jake, I don't think there'll be a shortage of suitors for him, but I don't think anyone will be going after him in the portal saying, okay, you're our new starting quarterback. I think they're going to, or hey, you're 1A, 1B. Like, he's going to have a lot of people. Obviously, he was super highly coveted as a high school recruit. And, you know, a lot of people still know he's got a ton of talent. And
could he go,
I think good personality, all that kind of stuff. So
could he go to Florida?
Florida could use a quarterback.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. Oh
yeah,
my
we obviously talked a lot about Jaden Rashada last week. I think that threw their plans out of whack a little bit, because I think Jaden Rashada was going to have a real, real chance to start for them as a freshman, because they got Graham Mertz in the portal, who, you know, is similar-ish to Jake. He's older, right? But same deal, where a guy who's got some starting experience but hasn't really done anything particularly noteworthy since, I think he had an awesome, I want to say his first game in college, he was like ridiculous a couple of years ago. But yeah, I mean, Florida would make a school like that, I think, makes a lot of sense. A school that maybe suddenly has a trickier quarterback situation than they expected a couple of weeks ago. And Florida is obviously the highest profile one, but you know, there's obviously schools all across the country that could kind of fit into that profile that would make some sense for Jake, I think.
I hope he does well, and I do. I kind of wish he stayed, but I only if he did well after staying. You know, I want him to do well. So,
yeah, I mean, I think after last year, a fresh start makes sense for a lot of guys. Obviously, he has not been the first portal guy, and we're going to see certainly some. We've already seen one coaching change, like we said. I think we don't expect that. That is it, as far as that goes. But, yeah, it's a shame that it didn't pan out for Jake, but I am not giving up on him as a prospect. It is, you know, we do get excited about recruiting rankings, and for the most part, it does matter. But the top three quarterback recruits ever to sign with Miami now are Kyle Wright, who was a starter, right? He was not obviously quite as good as people expected, but Jake Garcia is number two. We saw two starts from him in his career, something like that. I don't remember exactly how many started this year.
One.
One, was it just Virginia? That was the only
just
one.
Just one, yeah.
Jaren Williams is number three. So, reminder that quarterbacks are really, really, really hard to evaluate. That's why you need a good one every year. Obviously, a really good opportunity now for Emery Williams to maybe be that third string quarterback right out of the gate.
Yeah, and I think UM is going to go for another quarterback.
Yeah, they've got to get in the portal here and try to find someone, because you don't want to be in that situation. Again, like, I think everyone hopes Shakari Brown is going to be a lot better in year two, but you do not want to be in a situation where Tyler gets hurt again and you're dealing with the same sort of quarterback situation you were dealing with a year ago. I mentioned Frank Ponce departing for Appalachian State, which is obviously where he came from. He was the quarterbacks coach and pass game coordinator at Miami. At App State, he gets to go back and be the OC. To me, it seemed like a good mutual parting of ways. However each side wants to spin this, I think Ponce obviously gets to go back to a school where he has been for a long time. Be an offensive coordinator again. And for Miami, who we talked about it a lot, that they put together this kind of super team coaching staff, they have to pivot off of what they were doing. It was not, obviously, clearly did not work on really on either side of the ball, but especially the offensive side of the ball. I think it's a beneficial for both parties probably to part ways there.
Yeah, and I think what's most interesting is that Coach Ponce was from here, you know?
Right.
And he was so happy about coming home, and his nickname, Mr. 305. And That's kind of disappointing the way it ended up too. But obviously he did it on his own. He for sure yeah, he did he that was his decision, not Mario's, I think. I'm almost sure, but
Well,
so
I don't think Mario is exactly like scrambling to keep him around though either. Like this
actually you're right. You're right.
they had to change something. They have to change something. They might have to change a lot of things, right? We might
Actually,
see a lot change on the coaching staff.
right.
This is, I said it's a quiet time in the calendar, but this is kind of coaching carousel season, right? That we saw TCU poach Kendall Briles from Arkansas, and then Arkansas like gets Dan Enos from Maryland, and now Maryland's going to be in the mix for someone. And there's going to be a lot. Yeah, Michigan's offensive coordinator being investigated by like the police right now. So like there's a lot going on in the coaching carousel realm,
Right.
and I think the fact a lot of people, there was obviously a lot of frustration with a lot of the coaches on this staff, and Josh Gattis got a lot of the heat, but like I don't think anyone was like loving Kevin Steele a couple months ago, or really anyone on the staff. And everyone wants those moves to happen quickly, but in college football they tend to take a little bit longer because so many teams are playing so much longer than other teams, right? So like I think we're gonna see some more movement in the entire coaching carousel
Yeah.
in the next, basically between now and in the next month, right? We got signing day, like we said, coming up. So we've seen coaches on the road. Obviously, a lot has been made about how Josh Gattis has been kind of conspicuously absent. So we'll see what happens there. But
And
yeah,
I'm
I don't expect that Frank Ponce is the only change happening, given what we saw from this team last year.
I For sure, there's going to be more movement, I think, on the offensive side, I would say. I a lot of people think a lot of people think that that Gattis will not be here next season, and that Mario is not the type to, publicly or make a big deal out of firing people. I don't think he likes that. So I think he likes when people find other jobs first, or, while he's looking around or whatever, however they do it. But I think he likes to keep it low key, and then that guy goes somewhere else, and then his guy comes in, and so we'll see. But I don't think Josh Gattis, I don't think people's impression was that he was a good fit. So, and look, and they all, I feel bad for him because my God, there couldn't have been any more injuries than they had. It was terrible. But it just, I don't know.
I mean, it's going to be interesting to see
Didn't
what they
feel
do because I mean, I think we both agree. Like I said it a couple of times. It felt like they were like trying to jam a square peg into a round hole with the personnel they had and the offense that, again, Josh Gattis
right.
wants to run, but mostly that Mario Cristobal wants to run. Like Josh Gattis is not doing anything different than Mario like wants to do and his ideal way to play football. So yeah, obviously they are currently, I think, building a roster. Like the roster they have next year is going to be much better suited to play that style than the roster they had last year. Not just because they'd be healthier, but we've seen the way they've built up the offensive line and gotten a lot bigger on the offensive line specifically.
Right.
Obviously they have they've got, I think, more depth at running back, just having some more guys get healthy and some bigger, Mark Fletcher coming in, like a lot of, and Trevante Citizen, who is, and Don Chaney, right? Those are like, they're going to be the three biggest running backs in the room. Like the personnel makes a lot more sense. So it's going to be interesting where we've obviously seen the spread work at Miami. It's the first offense that really worked in Miami in a really, really long time. And now they're going to go, if they make a coaching change, and obviously they're going to make some kind of change because they need to replace Frank Ponce now. What they try to do there, if they just
And they
go
might
with
not.
someone who is doing similar, kind of run a similar offense with some slight differences and maybe just like better personality fit, better cohesion with the rest of the staff, or if they totally change it up and go to a significantly different scheme.
Boy, yeah. Mario
Hard
is
to
pretty.
imagine the latter.
Right.
That they
Yeah.
came with.
Mario, like, is pretty, I don't know what the word, he headstrong on what he likes to do.
Yes.
I mean, he's pretty, he has his mind made up, I think. I don't know. So, and it's not like a Lashley, even though that would be fun. Love that. I'd love that.
Yeah.
But yeah, he likes a more balanced old school running,
right,
running and passing. And they, you know, when I looked at the stats there, it was really interesting. They like ran and passed almost identically the amount of times last season. But, you know, they just were not successful in either, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I said a lot of times that it felt, going back to the super team coaching staff thing, like, it just felt like they were like, there was no, like, I mean, this is probably just because it didn't work. And if it had worked, we would have said, like, oh, these guys must all really get along or whatever. And I'm not saying they don't get along, but, like, usually there's a reason, like, a coach comes in and hires guys they have, like, experience with, right? It's,
yes.
Whereas this, yeah, they were taking a lot of guys who had no experience working together, and it just felt like a, like, disjointed, incohesive offense with, you know, Gattis had been, you know, Michigan, Penn State, Alabama, Ponce had been at App State forever. You know, Stephen Field had been a, you know, it was his first position coach job was at Miami.
Right.
Kevin Smith was coming from Ole Miss. Like, not a lot of those guys had worked together. And, you know, maybe a year would have, like, helped. Just they were still kind of getting to know each other and what they all think and all that kind of stuff. But, I don't know. It just, like I said, it didn't feel cohesive. And Josh Gattis and Frank Ponce are not fully to blame, obviously, for the quarterback issues. But, like, the quarterbacks did not know, you know, obviously, like, Tyler was hurt. But even before Tyler was hurt, like, he did not
No.
look like the same guy, clearly.
Yeah. No, he did not.
So whatever they were doing was not working.
And I
know
think
they,
he
well,
might,
I know they like to use that injury excuse, but it doesn't fly.
And I think they might maybe they could scrap the QB coach and just hire an OC that
right,
also,
like Brett Lashley was, and
that also
Dan Enos too. Dan Enos was the same way,
right?
Speaking of Tyler, we wanted to talk a little bit about him just because obviously there's going to be some changes, right? And whether it is massive with a new OC or just with a new quarterbacks coach, Tyler's going to have now his third quarterbacks coach in 3 years, and potentially his third offensive coordinator in 3 years. Obviously, like we said, we both feel really good about Tyler, and, you know, get healthy and he'll be really good when he comes back next year. But coming off an injury too, how do you expect them to handle this offseason for him?
I my gut is that they go easy on him in spring, and that he that he doesn't throw the ball a lot. I don't know. I or that he keeps rehabbing. I don't know. I feel like they have to keep strengthening that shoulder, that arm, or whatever's wrong.
Right.
And I feel, I mean, I'm sure he's gonna, like, play catch or whatever he does with some of the new receivers. He's not gonna have, I don't think he'll have any contact. I mean, they never do anyway, but
right. Yeah,
I think they're gonna go easy on him. The thing is, if they have a new coach, I don't know. I mean, he'll be studying the playbook, and I don't know, David. I just thought they were gonna go really easy with him during spring. I just don't think they want to take the chance. Can you imagine him getting again? Then it's like, whoa, what's wrong? You know, and who know? Like, I'm not saying he's getting surgery, but I don't know. I didn't think that he was gonna take part heavily in spring, but we'll see. Again, because of the new coach, that really throws a wrinkle into it. If there is, well, there's there's going to be some offensive, I would think, new offensive person and possibly a offensive coordinator. Wow. They're really have a lot of challenges ahead of them. Yeah. They really do.
Yeah. Like you said, the health will help. What do you think?
I can't see it going for the course. I can't.
If they've got a new OC, I think they've got to give him something in the spring. Like you said, the number one priority is his health because they have, they have to believe that he is going to be the old Tyler Van Dyke. Because if not, you're just kind of screwed. Like, it's really hard to, there's just not enough. I don't think there's enough talent around him on offense. And there's not enough talent behind him either at the current moment. I mean, maybe they go and get a, really solid backup quarterback transfer, but it's hard to sell, I think, a really good quarterback on coming when Tyler's in the room. I think number one priority has got to be to get healthy, but at the same time, like last year was such a, like, it's just kind of like a wasted year. I think they've got to try to have a real spring, right? Like last year, it kind of felt like, so much was about just like establishing the culture, right? And
right, he just got there. Yeah, that right.
Like they gotta have a real spring this year where they try to get a lot better because they got a long way to go, and having your quarterback out there like is pretty important, an important piece of that, I think.
It is, but I still think they got to go easy on his arm. I don't know, but then again, his arm seemed fine when nobody was touching him in practice, right?
Right. Before that's the other thing. That's the other part of this, right? Is that they thought he was fine a couple times and he kept going back and getting hurt. So you can't rush him. They rushed him all year last year, clearly. Whether or not they like made mistakes or if it was just like fluky, he just kept getting re-injured, like got to give him some time. But I also think he needs to play a little bit in the spring.
Yeah. Well, he probably will. Yeah. You got to figure he will, but I don't know. We'll see how much he's kind of, how much he does. Cause we know that he's a starter. Okay. There's no doubt about that. So it's not like there's a competition going. I think they'll get the other guys set also. So.
Yeah. Last one before we finish up here, transfer portal closed over the weekend, as we said. Obviously Jake was the biggest final entrant for Miami. Any kind of final thoughts on the portal? You want to run, I guess we should just run through what they lost, what they gained. Obviously there can still be more. There will be more additions between now and the start of the 2023 season, but just kind of big overall impressions of what happened in the portal.
Yeah. I mean, they got seven players this time around, and including a really good center. Right.
Yes.
And now they're losing their center, which isn't official, but I think he's going to enter after he graduates, Jakai Clark, which is kind of interesting, by the way. And so they got, Matt Lee, they got okay guys. They got cornerback Devontae Brown. They lost guys. You know what, David? I think there were 19 guys that entered the transfer portal for Miami. I think Jake was the one big one.
Yeah, I agree.
And John Campbell left the offensive tackle, and he's at Tennessee. So good for him.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't think they lost that much greatness. I love Al Blades, and he left. But I don't.
Well, Daryl Jackson is probably the single biggest loss. But
a big loss. I mean, Avante Williams, I think, is a talent, but he not with Cam around, and
and clearly just didn't gel with this new coaching staff.
No, we kind of knew that from the beginning. Yeah, I think it kind of ended up the way we expected. How about that? I kind of they got rid of a lot of players. I know Mario, a lot was Mario wanting some guys out more than probably almost all of them. I know people get mad when I say that UM lost
Right.
19 players. So they did lose
They
19
lost
players.
them. Yeah.
Yeah, I put that in the headline and I'm like, people are telling me to do better, do better. Right? They didn't lose them, but they did.
They very literally lost them.
Yeah, they did. So I think they're going to be okay because Mario's going to fill that up. That's what he wants to do. He wants to get his guys in.
Yeah.
So I think it worked out for Miami. I don't think, David, I don't think the guys they got, I think this guy, well, the Alabama offensive lineman, Javion, am I saying it right?
Yeah, I think that's
Oh.
the, to me, that's the, well, the combination basically of that and
And Matt Lee.
Matt Lee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are big, right?
Yeah,
But
those are big pickups.
and this the Purdue defensive tackle, I don't know, Branson Dean, I'm not sure. Francisco Malgoa, and I don't know how great all of them are really, but I think the two offensive linemen are important and they got the great young kids coming in. So I think they did okay portal wise. I think he would have maybe liked to get some more players in. What do you think? Some tr more transfers in, but maybe he's saving. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think yeah, the
Maybe
two offensive
he's.
linemen were biggest. I think now they clearly need some more defensive linemen and wide receiver. That's they still didn't get like that one like overwhelming guy
No,
who
man.
feels like he can come in and be a starting wide receiver on
Crazy,
the
man.
outside. So
They
I
haven't
know those
done
are hard to come
that.
by, but I don't know. That to me is like obviously it's not like you said they're not done. They're gonna definitely add more piece. You know, quarterback has to now be pretty high on that list between now
Yeah.
and the summer. But yeah, they still got work to do. The portal story is it, you know, we're at end of part one, right? End of chapter one. Now part two is filling
Man.
things out now that you pretty much know who is sticking around, at least. Like we said, there could be a couple more who enter after they graduate at the end of
That could
spring.
happen.
So
That yeah, that could happen because graduates can enter or announce it whenever. But I
yes.
think May, but also May is a lot of the guys have signed and stuff. I you know, if you're a great receiver, maybe you're like, is Tyler Van Dyke the same guy? Is he
Yeah.
heel? And do I want the other guys throwing to me? I don't even. And now Jake's gone. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's, I don't think, I'm not so sure this is going to be, I don't get the sense this is going to be a breakout year, by the way, for Miami. I don't, I think they're going to have a tough task ahead of them, put it that way.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think we can also finish things up there. Thanks as always for listening. You can follow Susan Miller Degnan on Twitter at S Miller Degnan. You can follow me on Twitter at DB Wilson 2. A little bit, like you said, a quieter part of the college football calendar, but that will not last very long. National Signing Day is about 10 days away from when we're a little more than 10 days away, like 12 days away from when we're talking now. That will be right around the corner. Obviously, it'll be a quieter National Signing Day as it has tended to become over the last couple of years with the advent of the early signing period. But there will still certainly be some news popping up between now and then. So we will be back next week. We'll do a preview for signing day and catch up on you know, surely there'll be more portal news and coaching carousel stuff. So there'll be plenty to talk about. Be sure to subscribe to the Herald Sports Feed and you'll get that right in your ears. Thanks as always for listening, and we will talk to you guys next week.